Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Kolesar, charging out. Kolesar, the righty, shoots and scores! Kolesar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace hanging out inside T-Mobile Arena. Chris Chapman back inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the
Woo!
One more day, Chappie. One more day before the NHL trade deadline. One more day of news bombarding you night in and night out. One more day of elevated screen time for the majority of us that have spent the last 48 hours or so constantly reloading and refreshing X or Twitter or however you consume your news. And the Golden Knights, to this point, they have not done anything yet today, but who knows, maybe that changes at some point during the night or at some point before noon tomorrow. We've got a packed show here today as we lead into the VGK pregame show. That's coming up at 6 p.m. with me. I'll be preempting myself or following myself. I don't know. It's been a long week, everybody. That's all I got to say to you. Now, that being said, we've got the Vancouver Canucks, the Pacific Division leaders, in town tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. Golden Knights are going to look a little bit different, but we're going to bring in Rob Williams with the Daily Hive in Vancouver about 4:30 or so. He's going to talk Vancouver. We might even talk a little bit about Phil Kessel, whether or not Kessel will sign with the Canucks before tomorrow, and also just general chaos with Rob the hockey guy. In hour number two, we're going to get into one-timers. Obviously, we're going to take a look at where the Golden Knights are going in terms of their lineup for tonight. Noah Hanifin on the ice this morning for the Vegas Golden Knights, flew in and landed at 10 a.m. today. 10 a.m. He was on the ice at 11. Unreal. Unreal stuff there from Noah Hanifin. He's tracking to play. Bruce Cassidy did say that it would be a decision left up to Noah Hanifin, but he was taking part in power play drills. We'll get into that also in hour number two. Anthony Mantha set to make his Vegas Golden Knights debut tonight. But Chapman, I think the best thing that we can do right now, right off the top, is we throw out the code word. And the reason that I think that, Chapman, is because if I don't do it now, I'm going to forget.
Yes.
And if I forget, then you, listening, you don't have a chance to win the jackpot on Fox Sports Las Vegas. You don't have a chance to win $2,024. And I couldn't live with myself if I forgot to do that for you. So we're going to throw the code word out right now. It's early in the show. I get it. But I promise you, I'm doing this because it's out of the goodness of my heart. Code word today. One word, not two, do not separate it. One word, showgirl. Showgirl. Text showgirl to 702-876-1340, and you've got yourself registered for a chance to win $2,024, thanks to Fox Sports Las Vegas. Okay, so with that out of the way, Chapman.
Okay.
We've got the official trade. Noah Hanifin is a Vegas Golden Knight. In the last 48 hours, Kelly McCrimmon has added Anthony Mantha and Noah Hanifin to this roster, to this team, to the defending Stanley Cup champions. So now that it's official, I want to walk you through all the ins and outs, the machinations of this trade, okay?
Okay.
Here's the full trade. The Golden Knights get Noah Hanifin. You'll take that, right?
Yeah.
You'll take a full price Noah Hanifin, wouldn't you?
Sure, sure.
But you're not getting a full price Noah Hanifin. You're getting Noah Hanifin for 25% of what his salary would be. 25%, Chapman. Why? Because Kelly McCrimmon is a wizard. He is elite at what he does. Elite at what he does, Chapman. The Golden Knights worked out a three-team deal. They were able to get Calgary to retain 50% on Noah Hanifin. Calgary, in turn, traded Noah Hanifin to the Philadelphia Flyers. Philadelphia, they retained 50% on Noah Hanifin, too. So the Golden Knights get Noah Hanifin for 25% in terms of his salary dollars for the remainder of the season. He's less than $1.3 million.
Yeah, that's a steal.
It's unbelievable.
That is pretty good. I would say Kelly McCrimmon outdid himself on this one.
Okay, so we're talking about Noah Hanifin, and we'll get into how good he is in terms of Golden Knights defenders in a little bit. So the Golden Knights get Noah Hanifin. It's going to cost them about $1.3 million against cap. This is what the Calgary Flames get. They get Daniil Miromanov, a 2025 conditional first-round pick, and a 2025 conditional third-round pick. I want to leave the conditions for just a moment because I want to get into that a little bit deeper. The Flyers, for their trouble in eating about $1.3 million of salary, the Flyers are going to get a 2024 fifth-round pick from the Golden Knights for retaining Hanifin's salary. Okay, so there it is, right? The Golden Knights out the door for Vegas. You are talking about a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and potentially a third or second-round pick, and then Daniil Miromanov. So on the surface, with that going out, do you like this trade?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, draft picks, they are what they are. I mean, the Golden Knights anticipate drafting low or high, depending on how you look at it.
How about you just say late round picks.
First round pick.
Yes, exactly.
I don't care about the fifth. To me, irrelevant.
Sure.
Like, it's something you have to get rid of in order to make this happen. It's not going to make me lose sleep. Okay. I don't think any of the picks make me lose sleep.
None of them do.
And, I mean, look, we like Daniil Miromanov. The problem is they have a logjam of defenders,
yep.
And you can't keep all of them. You can only play six a night, and Miromanov, odd man out. And
yep.
Maybe there's someone else who's going to be an odd man out. Who knows? But, you know, you in order to make things happen, you have to trade away assets and players. And
sure.
I think right now, based on what the Golden Knights gave up, I'd say they're coming out looking pretty good, especially factoring in the salary aspect for Hanifin.
Okay, so Calgary gets Daniil Miromanov, a 2025 first-round pick, and a 2025 third-round pick. Here are the conditions. This is my favorite part of the deal. Like, aside from the fact that we get to watch Noah Hanifin play hockey now, my favorite aspect of the deal are the conditions on not so much the third-round pick, but the first-round pick. Here it is. The 2025 third-round pick becomes a second-round pick if the Golden Knights win one playoff round. I think that we all can agree that if the Golden Knights are healthy, relatively speaking, going into the first round, depending on who they play, they're going to be favorites in that series. They just are. If you've got Hanifin and Mantha and you have a healthier team like Will Carrier back in the fold, Pavel Dorofeev available to you, if you are looking at a healthy Golden Knights team that has found their game, rediscovered their game in the final 20 games, I think you look at this, and if you're going all in with Noah Hanifin and Anthony Mantha, or at least supplementing that, you're expecting to win in the first round. So you can view it as a third rounder until it becomes a second rounder, but it's more accurately probably a second-round pick, okay? That's not the one that I want to spend a lot of time on. The 2025 first-round pick can slide to 2026 if the Golden Knights decide to trade that pick prior to March 10th, 2024. So, in other words, if the Golden Knights are in the process of another deal between now and tomorrow, and they decide that that deal, in order to get it over the goal line, needs a 2025 first-round pick, they are free to deal that pick. And in so doing, the trade to Calgary would be a 2026 first-round pick, not a 2025 first-round pick.
So, to paraphrase, the Golden Knights and Kelly McCrimmon, they have a 2024 first-round pick and a 2025 first-round pick to play with if they want to make another move.
Absolutely. Exactly.
I mean,
I don't know that I've ever seen this before, Chapman.
It's creative, for sure.
if you're
Calgary, I don't know why you agree to that.
I mean, it's a first round pick, right?
Yeah, but if you're Calgary, you don't want to wait till 2026 to use that first round pick.
Unless
you're not good right now, why do you want to wait 2 years from now?
Unless you flip it, right?
Well, that's one aspect of it, but you may not be able to flip it until
until you know which one it actually is.
Yeah. So, look, it's certainly creative from the Golden Knights' perspective, and I wonder if we're going to see more of things like this in the future. And is it top 10 protected
as
well?
It is. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's another
there's literally nothing Kelly McCrimmon could have done in this deal any better.
Yeah.
It's insane, Chapman. It's wild to me how good this deal is. Now, again, though, there will be some people that say, "Well, it's a rental." I don't have any inside information, but I think that if Noah Hanifin comes here and he fits, is there a better place than Vegas? Is there a better system for a defenseman than Bruce Cassidy? Is there a better opportunity to win anywhere else if you're Noah Hanifin? Like, that matters. It's important. And by the way, it's Vegas. Everybody wants to come here. Everybody loves playing here. I look at this and say, if you can also get an extension done, this is robbery of the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you're getting a guy who was the fifth overall pick a couple years ago.
Same draft as Jack Eichel.
Yeah, he's young.
And Connor McDavid.
So I mean, he's not an old player. So. Like, you're looking at this from the perspective where if they did re-sign him, to get a quality established NHL player for that first round pick, whether it's next year or the year after, I mean it's phenomenal. And look, if you get the extension done, I'm looking at the Golden Knights right now. Shea Theodore, Brayden McNabb. They only have 1 year left on their deal after this season. You lose Alec Martinez, potentially. He's also a free agent at the end of this season. So, I mean, you'd be filling a void with a player who is, 27 years old? No, I'm sorry. He's 27 years old. So, I mean, you would get this player in his prime. Mm-hmm. And he's already an established player. And you'd only give up basically a first-round pick and a third-round pick to do so.
More or less a first and a second, right?
Yeah, because if you win that series...
You're banking on the idea. I think we're all kind of viewing it as the Golden Knights are going to win in the first round. Right?
You know, like, the more I hear about these conditions, the more I want Vegas and Edmonton to play in the first round than the Golden Knights to knock the Oilers out of the playoffs. Because it not only would be beneficial for Vegas, but in essence, the Calgary Flames would have screwed the Edmonton Oilers with the Noah Hanifin trade and... They get two really high draft picks, a first and second round, out of the deal to maybe eventually become a better team than the Edmonton Oilers. So I like
that.
It's
going to take a while, Chapman.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? You never know with Dreisaitl if he's gone.
Do you know what Calgary's doing?
Do I know?
Yeah.
Well,
they refused to trade Jacob Markstrom.
Which is, well, they had an agreement in place to trade Jacob Markstrom.
Well, let's see if that changes. Like, given the fact that they have moved on from Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin, who knows? Maybe Markstrom goes before noon tomorrow.
I look at this team right now, and they have two first-round picks this year. They got one from Vancouver as well as their own. They have two second-round picks this year. They have two fourth-round picks this year. They have two first-round picks next year, two third-round picks next year. So, I mean... They're trying to build something, and I understand it's a process. Uh-huh. I mean, think about how the players that this team had just a couple of years ago.
Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk.
I mean, outside of Matthew Tkachuk, none of them are really...
Toffoli.
I mean, Toffoli's having a good season.
Toffoli's having a great year.
But, like, I think about that top line that they had a couple years ago.
Elias Lindholm.
Yeah. I mean, like, they had some really, really good players, and they really could never make it work.
As the beginning of the end was Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no other way around it. So in looking at Noah Hanifin, and we've dug into the actual trade, the full trade, again, Golden Knights get Noah Hanifin. They're paying just under $1.3 million for Noah Hanifin the rest of the season. Could there be an extension? Probably. It's absolutely possible. If he's the fit, if he is a guy that you put into your top four defense and he instantly makes everything better in a lot of different ways, and you look at the age and it's a proven commodity right in the middle of his prime, I think an extension makes a lot of sense, but we'll see if that bridge gets crossed later on down the road. You look at what kind of leaves from the Golden Knights. Obviously, we wish Daniil Mirimanov all the best. He is going to get an opportunity in Calgary to really play. He signed a two-year extension with the Flames upon the deal, so that's great news for Daniil. And I'm with you in terms of draft picks, right? Like, it's capital for other things at times. You never really know what a draft pick is going to turn into. And I think with the Golden Knights, like, they have been able to identify talent in a very unique and different way from a lot of other teams. And that's what's allowed them to be this good this quickly for this length of time. And in the Noah Hanifin deal, like, when you look at it on its surface, right, you are taking an elite aspect of your team already, how you defend, all of your defenders. And we've talked about this going into the season as the big strength of the Vegas Golden Knights. It's their back end. It's what they do as far as their defensemen go. And you have improved it and made it younger in the short term and potentially in the long term if you sign the extension. That is how you keep windows alive. That is how you win, by being aggressive. And that is how you go all in correctly so that you give yourself the best chance to win when you actually get there.
Well, there's different ways to do this, to build an organization. You look at the way the Golden Knights have done it, and I think it's hard to argue that they haven't done it the right way. Like, you won a Stanley Cup last year. Clearly, what they did is the right way. But let's be fair. Vegas is a desirable destination. Mm-hmm. Young players want to come here. Their families love it here. The weather is great. And look, I've never been to Calgary, so I'm not going to knock it because I haven't been there. But they play in an older building. Mm-hmm. There's always, like, I think they're supposed to be getting a new arena, but I don't know if they've ever actually broken the ground on that new arena. It's cold in the winter. So, and from what I understand, taxes are quite high. Mm-hmm. So it's not a fair comparison, because certainly there's desirable markets, right?
Right.
Like the Florida markets, Vegas, for a variety of reasons. But if you're the Flames, you're not drawing high-end free agents. It's a lot like Columbus. Mm-hmm. You got Johnny Gaudreau if you're the Blue Jackets, but how many star players have walked away from the Blue Jackets in the last couple of years to go to bigger markets? Artemi Panarin to New York, Seth Jones to Chicago, right? Like this is a thing that happens in the league, and it's not just the NHL. It happens in baseball. It happens in football and basketball. Guys want to play for the Lakers. There's that aura. There's mystique. Mm-hmm. It's Southern California. You got Hollywood, Jack Nicholson. Well, Vegas.
Don't forget about the beach, Chapman.
Well, you got the beach too, right? Yeah. I mean, hang out with Wee Man on the beach and Drew Doughty, right? So, Wee Man and Drew Doughty apparently are buddies.
Is that new? Did I miss something?
No, there were some old videos I saw on YouTube years ago with
Chapman,
with,
buddy.
Yeah,
buddy, my brain, man.
Come I know,
on.
I know.
So, you can't throw an old reference my way. This
I know.
Week. You can't
so,
do it.
So, but. Vegas is a desirable market, so they're always going to be able to attract the high-end free agent superstars. Mm-hmm. They did it with Alex Pietrangelo.
Sure.
Calgary has to do it a different way, and I like what they're doing. I like the fact that they've acquired a ton of capital, mm-hmm. and maybe you can't sign high-priced free agents, but maybe you can trade for them. Maybe you can draft star players.
So let's talk a little bit about Noah Hanifin. We've dug into Anthony Mantha, where he's going to play. We'll do that a little bit more in hour number two. But Noah Hanifin, the player, is you know, oftentimes we talk about players that can break pucks out, and we utilize the phrase one-man breakout. Noah Hanifin can be that. And it's not just with his legs. It's with his stick, too. He can stretch the zones really, really well. In a similar vein to Shea Theodore. But what this does for you is it gives you an easier time and a little bit more creativity getting out of your own zone. And I think when the Golden Knights get into some trouble, it's because they spend too much time defending or they don't get out initially to break that forecheck pressure. So that being said, Noah Hanifin should help them in that regard. In terms of defenders in the lineup for the Golden Knights, where do you place Hanifin among the Petrangelos, Theodores, McNabbs, all the rest?
Well, he's a top-pairing defenseman, and I think the Golden Knights are pretty lucky in that they have quite a few. They have a few top-pairing defensemen. He fits right in with Petrangelo and Theodore in that he's a very high level. He can move the puck. Mm-hmm. You know, different type of defenseman than Braden McNabb and Zach Whitecloud and Nick Hague. So they have a really good mix. They have a good dynamic. And look, I love Theodore and McNabb together. They really seem to complement each other. We'll see how Hanifin and Petrangelo go. But the Golden Knights have three guys who you could legitimately say would be a first pair defenseman on probably every team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And Hanifin would be one of them. So I'm not sure if I rank him ahead of Theodore or Petrangelo. Like, to me, it's debatable.
I think he's right there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's certainly in that discussion with the two of those guys as being the best all-around defenseman on the team. Mm-hmm.
Like, he is a great complement to Shea Theodore and Alex Petrangelo. You can have Noah Hanifin paired up with either of Alex Petrangelo or Shea Theodore. Like, if you want to really push offense, Chapman, you could go Hanifin, Theodore.
Theodore, yeah.
You absolutely could. If you want to full court press a team into oblivion from your back end, you can go with that look. You can go with Hanifin, Petrangelo, and that can turn into a legitimate top flight shutdown pair in very similar ways that we've seen Martinez and Petrangelo be when they're at their best. You can have him go in a lot of different spaces. He's going to be able to kill penalties for you. He's going to factor in on the power play. There was a different wrinkle on the power play at morning skate today. We'll get into that a little bit later on too. But with Noah Hanifin, he does everything well. Everything well. And he skates really well for a big guy. He moves the puck. He's got a great hockey IQ. Like, there's nothing Noah Hanifin can't do. And that's the beauty of the player. It's not going to be one overwhelming thing that you look at Hanifin and you say, boy, he just beats you over the head with his ability to speed, right? Or his ability to shoot the puck, or his ability to be creative offensively. He does every little thing well.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned you could play him with Petrangelo and Theodore. Mm-hmm. You could play him with McNabb, too. So he's a bit, and the three of them, Petrangelo, Theodore, and now Hanifin, they're all able to be utilized in different situations. I don't think you want to break up the pairing of Whitecloud and Hague. Mm-hmm. So Bruce Cassidy, he can do things, and again, we always say they don't chase the situation. They don't chase matchups. But based on the situation, if Bruce wants to put Shea and Petrangelo together, he could do that. If he wants to put Hanifin and Shea together, he could do that. If he wants to put McNabb and Hanifin together, he could do that. It's really something that he's going to have at his disposal. It's almost like when you used to play Uno and you had that draw four and you were just waiting to pull it out and blast someone with it.
Sure.
Well, that's kind of like what Bruce Cassidy's got now. He's got that draw four card followed with the Uno card. So it's kind of cool. It's going to be really fun to see. Like, I'm really excited just to see how he's utilized tonight. Mm-hmm. And how he plays. And look, I mean, let's be honest. It's the guy was in Florida 24 hours ago.
Sure, yeah.
So he may have some jet lag. He may have, but I'm sure, you know, he's got his routine. Like every player does.
Okay, can I just say something, Chappie?
Go for it.
Okay, so I was at morning skate today.
Yeah.
And they were doing some work on the power play. And Hanifin was quarterbacking the second power play unit. with Alex Pietrangelo and Anthony Mantha was on that second power play unit. Within a 10-second span, Hanifin set up 2 one-timers, one from Mantha, one from Barbashev, on opposite sides of the ice from both circles.
Oh, my God.
I was giddy, Chappie. I was giddy. because so, like, how many times, right, are we talking about the Golden Knights? You got to get those one-timers from the elbows. And listen, it's morning skate. You're not going that hard. You're getting a little bit of contact, but not anything, like, substantial, anything to write home about. But the fact that he was able to kind of see the ice that way, and then, obviously, Mantha, his decision-making in that spot to just rip one on net. Like, I'm telling you, the way that this could help the power play is not necessarily being talked enough about, and we're going to dig into that in hour number two. Take a break right now. When we get back, we've got Rob the Hockey Guy, Rob Williams, from the Daily Hive up in Vancouver. We're going to chat about the Vancouver Canucks, the Golden Knights' opponent tonight, and the Pacific Division leaders. All that's coming up next on the VGK Insider Show. Newest member of the Vegas Golden Knights, Noah Hanifin, talking about his morning today in Las Vegas. The expectation is that he's going to play today. It's going to be a decision made by Noah Hanifin, but Bruce Cassidy did say that he expects Hanifin to play and to play alongside Alex Pietrangelo. Speaking of the opponent in tonight's game, it'll be the Vancouver Canucks, the Pacific Division and Western Conference leaders. And to help us kind of dig into Vancouver a little bit more, we bring in Rob Williams, national sports editor at the Daily Hive in Vancouver. Rob the Hockey Guy on Twitter. Hey, Rob, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're well. Obviously, it's been a busy 48 hours here in Vegas with, you know, trades and just general chaos to and fro. It's been like that for Vancouver, it feels like, for a little while now. But let's go back to the beginning. At the beginning of the season, did you see this type of performance from Vancouver? Did you expect that this team, with about 20 games left, would be atop the Pacific Division?
I didn't, and I don't think anybody did, inside or outside of Vancouver. I still remember Jim Rutherford's press conference, you know, prior to training camp, and you know, the line that stuck out from that that day was, if everything goes right, we can be a playoff team. And it kind of, that was kind of one of those lines that was kind of ridiculed in Vancouver, because that's the type of line that we've heard for so many years. I mean, it's been a decade of darkness for the Canucks, effectively. And, you know, that type of line from a Canucks manager usually precedes, you know, epic losing. And, you know, and in many ways, everything has gone right for the Canucks this season. You know, the only thing that didn't really go according to plan was the play of Andrei Kuzmenko, you know, nearly scored 40 goals a year ago. This season, you know, fell out of favor with Rick Tocchet, and now he's playing in Calgary. But just about everything else has really, you know, gone as well as anybody could have reasonably expected. All of their star players are playing at the top of their level. All of the depth acquisitions that they've made have made a huge impact on the team, and the Canucks are, now a force in the Western Conference.
When you look at kind of the impact of Rick Tocchet, I mean, obviously he comes in. You've heard, maybe, or at least nationally anyway, you've heard accountability as a big driving force for Rick Tocchet with this team. What has his impact really been in turning things around in Vancouver?
Oh, I think he's going to win Coach of the Year this year, and he's full marks for it. He has, you know, he's been a game changer for the Canucks. This was a team that one season ago, you know, under Bruce Boudreau, were, you know, played about as loose as can be. I mean, they were a really dreadful team defensively, and that is no longer the case. I mean, the buzzword with Tocchet is bringing structure, and that really, you know, has been the case. Like, he wants his players playing what he calls more predictable hockey, in the sense that everyone on the team, like, they know where they're supposed to be, they know where they're supposed to go. and that's really calmed things down. There's not the big breakdowns that we've seen from this team in the past. Tockett has been doing that. Their forecheck is a lot more aggressive and a lot more consistent. And he's just been unafraid to just kind of tell it like it is, even in the media. You know, if they're not playing well, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He even benched JT Miller for a couple shifts early in the season, and you know that's a top 10 scorer in the league. He hasn't been afraid to everything he's kind of touched has turned to gold early on in the season. They have had a bit of a slump in the last month, but he's been exceptional for the Canucks this season.
Now that the Elias Pettersson will he or won't he situation is over, how sharp were the pins and needles that people were sleeping on in Vancouver, wondering if he was or he wasn't going to sign, and how close do you think he was to maybe entering free agency?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very private person, so we didn't get a lot of information out of Pettersson, and he was asked about it. You know, he had an interview with Elliot Friedman before the season where he just said he was going to be patient, wanted to wait till the end of the year. And I think that made people nervous in Vancouver, surely, but I think a lot of people kind of understood it in a way because, you know, the team had been in such disarray for so many years. Like, of course you'd want to, you know, maybe take your time to see how this season plays out before deciding if you're going to go for a long-term or a short-term deal or if you want out entirely. And, you know, as I said before, like, everything has gone right this season. So I think it was one of those things where, geez, they were, you know, first place in the National Hockey League for a long stretch of the season. They're still first in the West. Pettersson's having a great season. His teammates are having a great season. Like, everything is going great. So why wouldn't you have confidence in staying in the organization? I think, you know, last week it really kind of hit a fever pitch where just people started to freak out a little bit after there were rumors that the Canucks were perhaps listening to trade offers on Pettersson. And I think people were starting to wonder, like, is this a player that actually wants to be here, or is he just delaying and then is going to, you know, effectively pull a Matthew Tkachuk, like what he did to get out of Calgary, and refuse to sign a long-term deal to get his way out of town. So, yeah, I think people were really, really nervous about that last week. And then seemingly out of nowhere, they agreed to, you know, it seemed like a really quick process where they agreed to an 8-year deal, and all is right in the world again for
Now, did you like the way that Vancouver reportedly handled the situation where it sounded like there was a deal from an offer from Carolina, and the Canucks went to him and said, "Hey, we may have to take this unless you re-sign." So, did you like that approach?
It worked. So kudos to Jim Rutherford and company. If you would have told me that was the plan going in, I would have said, boy, oh boy, that's a risky, risky move. Like, I feel like you risk alienating the player. Mm. I feel like it was probably a bluff. Like, I don't think it makes much sense to trade him now. Mm. Even if you thought he was leaving, you'd still, you know, take a run in the playoffs and then make that move in the offseason, if anything. But it seemingly it works, right? Like, it kind of, I think Pettersson also just, you know, he could see the team was struggling. He knows that there's, you know, the marketplace was really starting to, you know, it was really starting to become a distraction for the team. But yeah, in terms of like a strategy, Pettersson is, you know, well known to be, you know, very private. He often says to the media in Vancouver, he doesn't want to give us a headline. Like, he's very cognizant of that fact. Like, what he says and does, you know, will generate news in Vancouver. So, it was definitely a surprise. You know, maybe a little veteran know-how from Jim Rutherford. You know.
Yeah, as much as Pettersson doesn't want to give a headline, like, I don't think Jim Rutherford's too worried about that. He'll provide them on his own. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, trade deadline. Obviously, that's tomorrow. The Canucks, they make their splash a little bit early on with Elias Lindholm. There's rumors that, you know, perhaps that could even be a player involved in another trade in an attempt to get, like, say, a Jake Gensel. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. What do you expect the Vancouver Canucks to do between now and noon tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that they're looking for is an upgrade on the wing for, you know, to effectively give Elias Pettersson someone better to play with. He's going to line up on a line with Nils Höglander, who's had a really nice season this year, and Pius Suter, more well-suited for a third-line role. He's played a lot with Ilya Mikheyev, who hasn't been the same player. He's coming off an ACL injury. So that's where the Gensel rumors were coming from. I think a lot of people expected Elias Lindholm to fit in on a line with Pettersson. That hasn't that didn't really work, and Rip Tocchet seems resigned to playing Lindholm at center, so they're now deep with Pettersson, Miller, and Lindholm, 1-2-3 down the middle. But they're still looking to find that extra piece. I don't anticipate that they'll trade Lindholm. I think that was more of an idea to perhaps get some assets to flip to get Jake Gensel. With Gensel, looks like he's going to Carolina. I think they move now to plan B or plan C. I think Tyler Toffoli out of New Jersey makes a ton of sense for the Canucks. Of course, he played briefly with Vancouver in 2020. He had great chemistry with Pettersson and with Miller, fit in really well on their power play. So I think that makes a ton of sense. You could slide him into a top six scoring role, and that would make sense. The other guy that's being linked to the Canucks is Jason Zucker out of Arizona. Of course, he's a former Pittsburgh Penguin. This current management group in the Canucks, it seems to love collecting former Penguins. So I don't think I'd be surprised if they took a run at one of those two players.
Yeah, there's another former Penguin that has been linked and has skated with Abbotsford, and that is Phil Kessel. What's the latest on Phil?
Yeah, I mean, all the reports sound like that's still still coming, still going to be a move that they make. There is a benefit to signing Kessel on the last day, trade deadline day, because of the roster expands, so you don't have to, and you won't have to use you won't have to send somebody down to the minors to bring him in. So I have a sneaking suspicion that that's probably been the plan all along, that they're getting him into shape. Apparently his fitness is not an issue for Canucks management. So I would anticipate that we'll see a Phil Kessel signing on Friday morning before the deadline.
Where does he fit?
See, that's a good one, because, I mean you guys would know seeing him play last year, but in terms of the type of player that Rick Tocchet likes, he wants, they're always looking to add speed. They're looking to add players that will get in on the forecheck. Not exactly Phil Kessel calling cards, right? It wouldn't make a lot of sense if not for the fact that, again, this management knows Kessel well. They've won Stanley Cups with him. And Rick Tocchet, who was an assistant coach with the Penguins when Kessel was there, he was known as the Kessel Whisperer, right? So who better to have Phil Kessel than Rick Tocchet? So if Tocchet hadn't already coached Kessel, I would say this does not fit at all. But because there's that familiarity and they seem to want him, perhaps it can fit. And again, I think the hole in the lineup is next to Pettersson. Now, is Kessel well suited to a top six role at this stage of his career? I have my doubts, especially having nearly a year off.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, let's lighten it up here with one question that I want to throw your way. I love Quinn Hughes. I love watching Quinn Hughes play. For some people here, obviously in Vegas, this is the audience you're speaking to, that don't get to see Quinn Hughes play night in and night out. Tell us why Quinn Hughes is awesome.
He's magic on the ice in terms of his skating. You got to understand, you're talking to somebody who's followed the Vancouver Canucks for a long time. The Canucks have never had a player like Quinn Hughes on defense before. Like, not even close. Like, he's already the greatest defenseman in Canucks history. He regularly, you know, we get these, like, statistical updates from these, you know, these accounts on Twitter. And regularly it's like, Quinn Hughes just accomplished this, and it's typically the only other players to have done this are Bobby Orr, Paul Coffey, Ray Bourque. Like, that's the type of company he's keeping statistically. In terms of what makes him such a great player, he's such a cerebral player, smart player, great skater. If you watch him just inside the blue line in the offensive zone, the way he rides that line and will hold the puck and opposing forwards can't get the puck off him, and that little space just right before the blue line, which is like a danger zone for most defensemen, Hughes is absolutely comfortable in that spot. And then prior to this season, you know, he was a great playmaker, but he didn't do much. You know, he wasn't scoring a lot of goals. He doesn't have a big booming shot. Mm-hmm. But he's even added that to his arsenal this season, where he's got a couple different moves where he'll blow by an opposing forward and get into a better shooting spot. That was something that he said he wanted to improve before the season, and he absolutely has. And he's got 12 goals this season in 64 games.
That's a pretty good calling card. I magic on the ice. I love that. Rob, thanks for jumping on here and doing this. And, you know, it's looking more and more like it might be Vancouver-Vegas in the first round. I'm not sure that that's going to hold up. But as these two teams play each other later on in the season, we'll make sure to bring you back on and reconvene and bring the hockey guys together, a meeting of the minds.
Should be a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
That is Rob Williams, Rob the Hockey Guy on Twitter. He joins us from Vancouver. He writes for, he's a national sports editor at the Daily Hive. Check him out. Awesome dude. Love chatting with Rob during games, not just Vegas Golden Knights games, but obviously Vancouver Canucks games as well. And it'll be Vancouver and Vegas tonight. Puck drop just after 7 o'clock. Pre-game show starts at 6 with me. And I'll be chatting with Lindsey Brown. I'll also be chatting with Danny Webster. That's going to be fun, getting into Noah Hanifin, Anthony Mantha, and all the trades and deals that the Golden Knights have done. All right, we're going to take a break. Reset hour number two next on the VGK Insider Show. All right, that music bed seemed excessive.
What, a little long?
Yeah, a little bit long.
That's all right.
I suppose.
I mean, I had to, you know, let people feel the energy of Mr. Brownstone.
Did you really need to?
Yeah. GNR, man. GNR. Gotta let the people feel it.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody knows that song, Chapman.
Yeah, well, it's a good song.
Man. Well, it's a perfectly fine
song. Might be
but
the
I'm
best song
like,
on Appetite for Destruction.
You don't necessarily need to let it marinate when it's a song that everybody knows. Like, give a couple of seconds. Everyone gets the gist. It felt, to me, a little long.
Maybe not everyone knows that song.
Maybe not.
Text us. Do you know that song?
No. Don't text us for that. Text us.
Showgirl. The word of the day, yes.
Text us the word of the day. It's showgirl. One word, not two. One word. Showgirl to 702-876-1340. And you can enter in to hit the jackpot on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show is next.